Hey, what is going on, everybody? And welcome to FutureCast number 004. This is take two. You don't know it, but I just wasted about 4 hours of Michael Selvidge's time doing the longest, worst introduction ever, and then setting up everybody to tune out of the show. Now that that's out of the way, my guest today on FutureCast, the official podcast of futuresmarter.com, where I still do some reviewing and some blogging once in a while, even though I started doing some stuff for ReadWrite recently, like just this week. So you can check me out over there with Owen and the crew at ReadWrite.com. Don't call it ReadWriteWeb.com, because it's not that anymore. My guest today on episode number 004 is a man who needs no introduction, because I just spent, like I said, 2 hours introducing him. Michael Selvidge, who is not only a supremely knowledgeable and tasteful music fan, who is not only the... Wow, there's no way to say this that's not going to sound funny, especially if I set it up this way. Michael gave me a good suggestion when I was in need for a new mattress, and so far it's working out well, so thanks. But he is also the mastermind, or one of the masterminds, behind Call & Oates. And if you don't know what Call & Oates is, you're about to find out, and your life's going to be better for it. He's also the senior manager of corporate communications for Twilio here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I think when Michael explains what Call & Oates is, you'll then want to know, hey, wait, this Twilio thing sounds interesting. So, Michael, thanks for joining us. Happy Friday. It's Friday, May 31st, as we record this. And congratulations to your San Francisco Giants for winning. You know, Oakland wanted to throw you guys a bone. Yeah, that whole Twitter thing about why do we even have to play in the Coliseum? You know what? Like, fine, just have a game. It's okay. So 3-1 A's. Way to go, winning a game, Giants. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, and you know, I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to relive the podcast introduction here. I feel like I have a second lease on life. And I get a whole new opportunity to be really annoying and awful voiced, which is something I was just getting to in the other introduction. I want to preface this whole podcast by apologizing in advance for my voice. It's something that I can't listen to. I used to do a little bit of podcasting, and I used to cringe every time I edited the podcast and had to listen to my voice. And quite a few people would write in to tell me how awful I sound. Sound like a cross between, God, what was the one? Okay, the best comment I ever got was that I sounded like a cross between Ira Glass and Michael Elon Smith from the Weird Science movie.
I was wondering where that was going. It's kind of like, I think your voice is lovely, frankly, but for some reason, that comment, I think because you said Ira, made me think about how I love Yola Tango's kind of noise jam songs, and the songs that are kind of more, you know, more rock guitar feedback oriented, and the vocals are kind of more either harmonies or just kind of almost spoken. And I cannot stand the whiny, nasally ballads. So
no La Tango for those ballads.
No La Tango for those ballads. Speaking of Hall & Oates, what is Call & Oates? How did you get 50,000 calls in a week?
And
doing on CNN? I'm sorry, 500,000 calls. Excuse me.
Yeah. So Call & Oates, it all started out as a employee project at Twilio, which kind of will serve as a segue into the big question: what the hell does Twilio do? Not a lot of people know. A lot of people think they might know, but they don't know. So basically, Twilio is a tool for developers to make really simple apps that call the phone and interact with the phone line, send text messages, communicate. And this was previously something that was very hard to do. So to emphasize the point of how easy it is, every single new employee at Twilio has to build an app on Twilio. And this goes for the interns, the marketing people like me, And the office manager, every single person builds an app. And my idea was, wouldn't it be great if there was a phone number that you could call and they would play Hall & Oates songs on demand? So if you know you're in a pinch and you need to hear Maneater.
What I want you got might be hard to handle like a flame. Or, oh, wait, sorry, that's your app. Sorry.
Or if you know, not want to hear Noah ever do it again.
Exactly.
Could call this number and you could hear you could hear Hall & Oates on demand. So tie that with a witty pun and a funny number. It was I believe 1719 26 Oates. Nice. And that's OATES. So you call that number and you hear the songs and that's about it. It's kind of a useless app. But it's funny.
It was great. No, I called it up and I got a choice even. I got to pick which song I wanted to hear a snippet of.
Right. So that's what you call an IVR. So that stands for Interactive Voice Response. So everyone's interacted with those. It's, you know, when you call a store, press 1 for hours, press 2 for directions. So something like that typically.
The ones that I call and I just, instead of pressing buttons, I just say representative, representative, representative. Over and over again, so either a human answers or I hang up.
Pretty much. Yeah. But with the point is, with Twilio, it was really simple for me, who is not a coder, I'm a marketer, to make this app. And, you know, if you want to get really technical, what it is, it's a cloud communications API, mm-hmm. and that stands for Application Programming Interface. And we have this thing called TwiML, which is just like a set of action verbs. And it's kind of like if anyone's ever designed a website with HTML, these commands will tell you what you want your the app to do. So you might say like brackets call brackets and then put in the number. It'll,
right.
Built the menu based on some sample code, and I, you know, just kind of went in there and modified it, and then I followed the directions for putting it up in dot cloud, and then I pushed the app, and then it was up. And I did this with my buddy in an afternoon, and then later that week I did a little bit of viral marketing myself, and I created a Twitter account for it, and then I started tweeting at people, following certain people, and I got some retweets, and the rest is history. I mean, it just went nuts. I got like 150,000 calls in a day.
That was fantastic. It was, and I remember thinking at the time that it was so cool because you were using your full skill set, you know, to come up with a fun app, you know, music based, universal. Everybody, almost everybody, knows who Hall & Oates is. The pun was key, obviously. In the lost introduction, the director's cut of this podcast with the original intro, I mentioned that I'm expecting you to zing and out pun me over and over again on this episode because you're one of the wittiest guys I know. And so it was all there. But then, you know, with your background in PR and your relationships with some key folks, you were able to seed the story out. And, you know, help nudge it along into viral infamy, which is pretty great. So I'm looking at the Twilio. I did the thing that you, in fact, told me, hey, cardinal rule of podcasting, don't type while you're recording because it gets picked up. And, you know, the folks probably heard some typing about 60 seconds ago because I was looking at the Twilio homepage and, you know, you guys have the little scrolling vanity, whatever you want to call it, it's not really a slideshow, of different clients, well-known clients who use Twilio. And I think it's interesting, the Airbnb example, I guess Airbnb is using Twilio to let would-be renters and would-be rentees communicate without actually trading their phone numbers. So, mm-hmm. you know, if it turns out that I'm trying to rent my house out to those dudes who were trashing apartments, at least they don't wind up with my cell phone number, which is kind of handy.
Yes. And, you know, a lot of other use cases for that, not wanting to use your phone number when you don't have to. So we do that with a lot of dating apps. So you're maybe meeting a person for the first time or talking to them for the first time, and you're not sure if you want to connect with them or you never want to talk to them again. So that's a great way for anonymous communications. Actually, another really cool app that's built on top of Twilio, and this is what a lot of people don't understand about Twilio. They think that we build the apps, but really we're just empowering people to build the apps themselves in, you know, something that's really simple for them to do. So a really great app is called Burner, and it's for iOS and Android. And they have, you can buy temporary phone numbers in whatever area code you want, limited to US and Canada, I believe. Or they may have, maybe do international, I'm not sure if they do that yet. But with Burner, you can just buy a phone number, make a Craigslist ad, you know, you're trying to sell your bicycle or whatever on Craigslist, but you don't want a bunch of Craigslist creepsters to have your phone number. This way you can interact with them and even text message them. So Burner is a really great idea that came out of just, you know, buying a phone number through Twilio, which is another one of our services we provide developers. We sell phone numbers.
I actually, you know, you just gave me an idea, and anybody listening to this, you can have this idea and run with it. Find a drummer. So when you talked about the you know, dating services, it brought to mind 10 years ago, longer, when I was living in New York and I was looking for a band, because I am a drummer, insert joke here. And I had contacted some folks. This might have been pre-Craigslist. I don't know. The internet was involved somehow. But I was meeting somebody after work. I was meeting a singer after work, and I was on my way out of the office, getting into the elevator, and I was talking on my cell phone, and I was saying, "I'm on my way over. I'll be, you know, the tall, really good-looking guy who just exudes rhythm, you know, or whatever I said." And this guy who I worked with, who also one of the wittiest people I've ever met, kind of looked at me and gave me a little smile and was like, "Internet blind date, huh?" I was like, "No, really, no, man, it's not. I'm a drummer. I'm looking for a band." But nobody wants to give their number out to a drummer, right? Because drummers are all creepy Craigslisters. So, you know, you set up an app, find a drummer. You could even have just like automated menu system, you know, press one for a guy living on his girlfriend's couch. Press two for a guy who likes to hang out with groups of three or four musicians at a time. Press two, you could have all the jokes in there. And oh, this is great. I don't need you anymore, Mike. We're done with the podcast. I have an app to make on Twilio.
Yeah, go for it.
So Banana Alerts was one of your more recent brainchilds.
Children. So Banana Alerts just came out and is no longer in service, actually, because it was sort of a one-time thing. You can actually call a notes today. We actually relaunched it for the one-year anniversary in December. So that's active right now, 171926OATS. But this Banana Alerts we just did for the premiere of Arrested Development, season 4. So basically had the idea, like, you know, everyone's talking about Arrested Development is coming back. I think it was the 24th or the 26th, maybe the 26th. Are you dialing?
Yeah, 2-6. OATS. Okay, I'm just going to leave it there because I know I interrupted you, but I have a short-term memory, so I, you know, want to get it written down.
Gotcha. So back to Banana Alerts. So
yeah, it just came out on Netflix like last weekend, I think.
Right. So I was wondering to myself, this was a month ago, and when it wasn't really publicized that it would be live at 12:01 Pacific time. I was wondering to myself, well, geez, like, we know that it's coming out on that day, but what time that day? Wouldn't it be great if we could get a text message delivered to you to let you know that it's up on Netflix? So I had the idea. I ran it. I sort of talked to a developer evangelist, Jonathan Gottfried, on our team, who's this great, great guy. He's, like, just so brilliant. He lives in New York, and we were just talking about what could we do. So he's like, "Well, why don't I just spin something up and see if it works?" And then 15 minutes later, he irons me. He's like, "Okay, I got it." And he wrote this app that would scrape a website and check to see when it would get updated, and then see when any changes were made to that website, i.e. season 4 being posted, it would send out a text message alerting you. So we already had our concept. And then, you know, in the intervening weeks, we kind of we noticed that they actually released in the press release that the time would be 12:01 a.m. So right. we didn't need the whole web scraping tool that he had built, but we sent out a text message to everyone who signed up. And, you know, that in itself is kind of, you know, utilitarian, but to make it kind of building off the Colin Oates model, we made it kind of funny. We luckily found the phone number, and this was all John. He used, he got the phone number 619-EGG-VEAL. And if you're an Arrested Development fan, you know who Egg is, and her last name is Veal. And when you text in Anne, who is the character's real name, it'll respond back her, which is an inside joke from Arrested Development. But then it'll also like tell you that you're subscribed to get the alert for the next season of Arrested Development. Nice. So it was a lot of, you know, just fun. And it got on BuzzFeed and Gizmodo and a few other websites. So we got in, I guess, total just under 50,000 people signed up for that.
Nice. So you guys, this is really fascinating because it's, you know, people think of phone and it means something different than it, you know, it meant, well, even 5 years ago, let alone, you know, 10, 20 years ago. But this is almost, at least for kind of a neophyte like me, thinking about what Twilio, some of the stuff that Twilio can do in that example, it's kind of taking it to another level because it's, you know, the app that can go out and automatically based on good code can automatically go out and monitor other properties on the internet and then, you know, connect to people via phone, and that can mean text message as well as phone call. You know, it's a two-way thing, and it's not just, you know, I can dial in and press 5 to hear kisses on my list, but, you know, I can subscribe and then this service can monitor other properties autonomously.
Oh yeah, and I mean that's really what Twilio is all about. Cool. You know, we're sort of connecting the phone system with the computer system and the internet as a whole. And I mean, this gets back to one thing that our CEO Jeff Lawson talks about, which is, I'm get ready to get your mind blown, because this is, when I heard this, I was like, oh yes, you're so right. I'm so glad I work here. But he was talking about the decades and the phases of computers. So in the 50s and 60s, computers with punch cards and everything were a numerical function. Like, they took in numbers, like right. census data. Right. You know, they basically computed numbers, and they just were number crunchers. And then in the 70s and the 80s, it turned into a texting, word processors, you know. It became a place where you enter your words and you could edit them easier, and it did, you know, computations and spell checks and whatever. That's pretty cool. And then the 90s and the aughts, the zeros to the 2010, I guess you'd say, was an era of computing that focused on media problems. So you started to see in the early 90s people editing video on computers, people listening to MP3s, people watching later on, towards the end of that period, watching YouTube. So
France, I think they watch porn. So.
I think that's probably more widespread than France. But so after the media phase, what's the next phase of computing? And essentially, enabled by the smartphone, it's an everything else. Meaning that the smartphone is a computer that you have in your pocket. And this computer has some speakers on it. It has a microphone on it. It has a GPS tracker. It has a compass. It has an accelerometer. So it's taking in all this info, like your location, like the sounds around you, right. Like, you know, and it's almost unlimited at this point. So basically it's taking that, and now we're we're looking at what can this computer in my pocket do? What can it solve? And a really great example is Uber. Uber, a lot of people think, oh, Uber is that car company that gets you a car. And if you're unfamiliar what it is, it's basically an app that you fire up on your phone and you say, I want a taxi here. And then a car comes and picks you up and then takes you to your place. But to think of it as a car service is really not what it is. It's a software company. And basically, they turned getting a cab into a software problem. So they didn't go out and buy a bunch of town cars. They use an existing network. They saw a problem, and they used the existing network of town cars that were running around, and they knew that there was a lot of people who were looking for, a taxi or a town car that could give them a ride. And they basically said, what can we do to connect these people? How can we solve this with software? And so they did, and they gave the drivers an app that logged their location, so we knew where the drivers are. Right. And they the customers an app that said, here I am, I need to be picked up. And then in the workflow, they actually used Twilio as well to send text messages to let you know, boom, like your car is 2 minutes away. Right. Boom, your car has arrived, it's ready to pick you up. That's all done through text messages through Twilio. And we have a lot of customers.
And that's automated based off of
tracking where the driver is. Doesn't have to send a text message when they're 2 feet away and do dangerous stuff. That's all just automatically done through software.
Right.
And so a lot of people say, we're the Uber of X, when they describe a startup.
Right.
And essentially what they're saying is we use software to solve problems, to solve real world problems. And it's called business process logistics is one of our main use cases. And there's a lot of companies that have Twilio interact with the way that they have workflows. And, SMS is a really powerful tool because it's cross-platform. And it doesn't matter, what operating system you are on. And it doesn't matter if your app is updated to the latest version and, whatever.
Right.
SMS is universal. So did you just send me a message on Skype?
I did. I was trying to be discreet and stealthy about troubleshooting a scratchy sound that I've been hearing.
Oh, it might have been my microphone cord.
Oh, okay.
Apologies, internet, for the microphone cord sound.
It's all right. I want to say the Internet of Things.
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad you reacted that way because I was going to say... I mean, do you guys talk about the Internet of Things and what's all this, I don't say kind of minor hype around the Internet of Things and, is it going to be actually more useful than, not that washing machines that can text me when, my clothes are clean isn't useful, but, I'm imagining just that the more embedded sensors and, connected sensors in different things,
mm-hmm.
the more things that can be programmed to automatically ping, the Twilio API to shoot out a text message letting me know that my clothes are clean. But I don't know if I have that quite right.
No, I mean, you're exactly right. So that's what the Internet of Things is. It's basically leveraging the sensors that exist and that will exist in, future products. Obviously, the Internet of Things is kind of a nascent thing. But, once smartphone sensors proliferate, there's just more sensors out there and all they do is take in information and it becomes a software problem for software people to go in and say, hey, why don't we make this workflow happen when this happens, when this condition happens of information we take in.
Right.
So, it's just a really exciting time. And I think one of the companies that's doing the most interesting stuff around this is IFT. And that's if this, then that, IFTTT. So IFT basically is a service that lets you, it's almost like you're a programmer with a really intuitive interface. So like if I post a photo to Instagram, you know, send a text message to my wife that there's a picture of, you know, that I just posted. Right. And that's really kind of the most basic. It's called, basically it's called recipes. So you make like an IFT recipe, and these recipes, when you think about it, are really crude levels of abstraction on programming. And you know, that's another trend. I think that cloud APIs like Twilio, and all the other APIs like Stripe and, you know, SendGrid that allow you to do a lot of powerful things without getting a lot of hardware and a lot of other really specific programming knowledge. Programming is getting easier and easier and easier and easier because of these, you know, layers of abstractions that they put on right. on top of it. And I'm a little bit out of my element here, so don't ask me any more detail than that. But
that's all right. So how does this might be? You can table me, and we'll get back to this if it's getting you off track. But it makes me wonder, how does Twilio make money, and does Twilio actually have hardware that handles the phone stuff, or is it a layer of abstractions, if I'm using the term right?
I'm glad you asked me that question, Noah. So
once in a while I get one, because the other question I really wanted to ask you was entirely about what I had for lunch. So I figured I'd go in this direction.
Okay, well, so to answer your question, it's a really non-traditional business with a very traditional model. So the business model is pay as you go. And, you know, there's no contracts that you have to sign, because that's one of the things that our founder, Jeff Lawson, really wanted to disrupt about the telecom industry, is that when you previously wanted an application built, you probably had to end up buying a lot of hardware, and you probably had to get a specially trained telecom engineer to do maintenance on this hardware and to set it up, and you needed to hire a systems integrator to make sure the specs for your, you know, thing were going to be operational, and you had an 18-month deploy time frame, and at the end, it still didn't work. So basically, he wanted upfront, no contracts, all the pricing is on the website, because, you know, in the old days, you'd see a website like, here's our telephone service. We can do all these, you know, solve all these problems and get you like the greatest thing. Here, call our sales associate and we'll let you know about pricing. And you call the sales associate and you say, hey, I'm interested. And the sales associate says, great. And you say, how much does it cost? And then the sales associate says, how much do you have? And essentially, they're selling you this mystical black box right. of service that only they, you know, the 10,000 telecom engineers in the world that exist
right.
know how to handle. Whereas Twilio is a more open thing. We tell you what the pricing is. It's, you know, a penny a text message, a penny a minute of voice calls, and $1 a month for a phone number. And that's all on the website. Essentially, it's taking away what we call as no shenanigans. So we're not going to change the price based on, oh, you're an enterprise customer? Well, you know, you've got a bigger
right.
budget. So
right.
the phone calls for you are three times as much. So it's all very transparent, and it's essentially pay as you go. Easy to understand.
And do you guys have – so do you have to be in – do you need approval from and cooperation from the phone companies and the wireless carriers and mm-hmm. all those folks to do what you're doing?
Yeah. So they're our partners, actually. We work very closely with them. And, you know, we...
I know it's kind of an obvious sounding question, but I'm just imagining...
Yeah. I mean...
Or is there a room that has the Twilio phone network server in it, you know, and that's like
right,
your own
right.
private...
So we're actually built primarily on AWS, which is Amazon Web Services.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people listening to this podcast may not know about that. They think about Amazon as the place that they get their socks.
Right.
But Amazon actually has this huge business where they sell, and this is a lot like the Twilio model, they sell on-demand server space. and it can scale up and scale down as you need it. So you never pay for more than what you use. And that's exactly like Twilio, you know, like Hall & Oates, for example. You know, here's an app that didn't exist one day, and the next day it exists, and all of a sudden 150,000 people are calling it, and not one of them is getting a busy signal. You know, and it didn't cost me anything extra than, you know, the sheer volume of the phone calls. But it didn't. I didn't have to like make the decision. Oh well, do I want to move up to the next tier of pricing for the month?
Right.
So AWS is where all of our hardware. We virtualize all the telephone hardware that you'd need to get your apps up and running. And essentially, we sell it. Another technical term is IaaS, so infrastructure as a service. So that's what Amazon is, AWS is, and to a certain extent, we kind of are on the fence between infrastructure as a service and platform as a service, because people develop on our platform and people use our infrastructure, and which, you know, kind of if you follow along the chain, goes back to Amazon, where most of our traffic is based. Not entirely, because we do need to have, in case there's an AWS outage, we do have, you know, backup plans for when that happens. So go ahead.
I'm thinking you need an app called Rush Crush, and Every button is just a different drum fill. And if you press more than one button at once, like if you just hit all the buttons on your phone, you just get crushed by the drums.
I love it. So
let's see.
Now we need a pun.
Speaking of succinct, I know that our time is running short. What else do we need to talk about?
Well, I think we need to talk about Damon Brown, since you guys talked about me so much.
Oh, this is true.
In his podcast.
This is true. He's got a book. He's all fancy.
He's always got a book.
He's always got a book. The man has written a lot of books.
It's like, come on, do something original already.
Do a podcast, man.
I know.
Jeez.
Well, you know, it's funny. Didn't I introduce you?
Yes.
I remember the day that I introduced you.
He had a book?
What's that?
He had a book that day?
No. The day I introduced you, we're at some tech conference.
Yes.
And I remember either he spilled tea on you
or you
spilled tea on him. Was it him on you?
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, oh, great. These guys are going to be real friendly.
He was like, and it's funny because I love Damon. I think very, very highly of him. And, I'm really glad to. Thanks for introducing us. But
just think he's okay, for the record.
but at that moment, it was like, oh, here's a guy like giving me a flyer to like buy something, and he's spilling tea on me. Thanks, Selvage. Great, nice one. What other friends you got? Was that the show where we got a ride with the most dangerous man in mobile, and when we came out? 01 had like plastered everybody's car windshields with flyers.
No, you know what? That was a different show.
Okay.
I do remember that show. That was like a Giga Ohm mobilized show,
right.
I believe. That was so much fun. I mean, the funnest part was I love Giga Ohm. Ohm Alec is just like a brilliant guy. They've got a bunch of great riders, but I'm not a big fan of that show just because of the Mission Bay.
Yeah.
It seems like I'm in college. They have it in that big, like, every panel is in this big auditorium with the lights down low. And I just have flashbacks to when I was in college, like, trying to stay awake in my biggest classes. And
well, that's because you went to Santa Cruz and ate too many burritos. So.
Smoked too many banana slugs?
That one, yeah.
Yeah, so, but anyway, the best part about that day is that you, me, and the most dangerous man in mobile cut out early, and what did we do? Didn't we go and play pool?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Did we go to, like, the Thirsty Bear or something?
Yep, we played pool upstairs at Thirsty Bear.
Yeah.
That's another plug Thirsty Bear on Harrison Street in San Francisco?
They don't pay us. We pay them. Maybe I'm gonna try to do with this podcast a very non-traditional business. No, the other way around. A non-traditional business model on top of...
No, it's a non-traditional business with a traditional business model.
Right, that's you guys, but I'm going to flip it. And I'm going to do a non-traditional business model, which is that I pay sponsors to let me talk about them on top of a traditional business, which is really old media that just goes on and on forever.
Yeah, let me know how that works for you.
I will. I'll have you back on the show. We can talk about it.
So our time is nearing an end, but I don't feel like we talked about Rush enough.
We didn't. They're touring again this year, I believe. Not to be confused with Vernon Reed's Guitar Circus or Peter Frampton's Guitar Circus, whatever it's called. I started following Living Color on Twitter, and basically it's a bunch of tweets either to YouTube clips of them or about how Vernon is playing in Peter Frampton's Guitar Circus this summer. I don't know what it is. I don't really want to experience it, but I kind of do just because it's, you know, Peter Frampton's Guitar Circus. But I thought I saw somewhere that Rush was touring again. We went to see them in Mountain View outside. I had a broken toe. And you, wow. What I really just wanted to say was I had a broken toe and you broke your Rush cherry. But that's not, I don't want to say that.
Yeah, that's a little bit creepy, but.
It's very creepy. But we saw them, the Time Machine Tour, they played.
Was so awesome.
They played
Moving
Tom
Pictures.
Sawyer over and over again. They played all of Moving Pictures.
And that's my favorite album of theirs, too. So
how could
I was
it not
in
be?
Heaven.
Yeah, good stuff.
Is that your favorite Rush album, too?
No, my favorite Rush album is Signals because it's their worst album. I don't think it's their worst album, but apparently everybody else does. But yeah, I think because I just like the picture, the album art of the dog sniffing out the fire hydrant so much.
Yeah, I would probably be on the side that says it's not the greatest.
Yeah.
I really like Permanent Waves too.
Permanent Waves is great.
I think that's my number two.
Yeah.
I will say this. You did get me... I kind of wrote off Power Windows as just being like, you know, Synthera. But on your insistence, I did give it another chance. And it's kind of become one of my, you know, not one of my starters, but one of my solid backup guys that I throw into the rotation every now and then.
Yeah, no, it's a good seventh man. or I don't know, in baseball terms, it's a good fire hose.
It's a good utility infielder.
There you go. Thanks. I find with them, as with most music I listen to these days, is I just get keyed in on, well, it's kind of like, it's like the playlist era now that, you know, like you were talking about with the, 90s being the media decade. And, you know, when I moved from New York to San Francisco, that's when I got rid of most of my CDs. Because at that point, everything was, you know, I'd stopped buying CDs and started buying MP3s. And it was just so much physically, so much easier. And then that has kind of moved into now I use, may as well plug them, we plug everybody else. Now I subscribe to Spotify. And so everything's just a playlist. And it's, so I have like a couple of Rush-only playlists. And it's just more about like the particular songs than the whole album. So I guess what I'm trying to say is whole album wise, Moving Pictures, I think is the best. If you had to pick a best, I think it's probably Moving Pictures. Signals, I do in fact, I haven't listened to it in a long time, but it will always hold a special place in my angsty suburban adolescent heart. But then like there's just tracks. You know, and so there's like Distant Early Warning has, I think, a couple of really good tracks, but to listen to the whole album front to back, I mean, not Grace Under Pressure, rather, Distant Early Warning being one of the songs, to listen to the whole album front to back is like, oh, right, this was Rush in the synth era. And
right.
Little much. You know, Power Windows, same kind of thing. I was listening to Marathon, actually, while I was running.
From first to last.
Ironically enough. Boo-doo, boop, boo-doo-doo-doo. What's the matter? Why don't you listen? I walked out on a Yellow Tango show once because it was really boring. Yeah, but it's just, it's playlists and Permanent Waves as an album in its entirety, really good, except the one song always makes me depressed, even though it's a good song on side two.
Oh.
Boom, doom. Everybody listen to me try to figure out what song how the song is.
Yeah, I'm not helping you out. I just want to
It's
hear.
not Entre Nous, it's not Just Between Us. I think it's
I think it's
time.
time for us to be alive.
It's not that one. It's the one who's come to slay the dragon.
Oh.
Come to watch him. Different strings, different hearts beat on different strings.
Yeah.
Yeah. That song always depresses me. Like, I can't quite go the whole album all the way through because that song is
Huh.
like a K-hole. Not that I know what a K-hole is. Just heard about it.
It really affects you that much?
It does. There's something about just like people being mean with words, and then that just melancholy guitar solo. Now, Free Will, on the other hand.
Oh, and Free Will is just like, I think that's, and is that right before Spirit of Radio? Spirit of Radio is
Spirit
first,
Radio is
right?
track one.
And then Free Will's number two.
Yes,
And I
and
think that's
then,
like
oops,
the
yeah.
best 1-2 punch of like definitely Rush and maybe all of
It's pretty close.
classic rock. I mean,
Tom Sawyer, Red Barchetta.
I was never much of a fan of Tom Sawyer as a song.
Sure,
I
yeah.
always thought it was way, way overrated. It's
Yeah.
not even close to their best song. But those, you can make an argument that Free Will and Spirit of Radio are, they're kind of the most poppy, but definitely like two of the best. You could make a case that they're two of the best Rush songs if you had to pick two. And then just to have them like start off an album like that, I always thought that was cool.
I don't even have words. I'm in an
You're
experience
just
right here.
nodding.
I'm just not I'm slowly nodding and like, running my tongue over my teeth. You know what I mean? With my lips closed.
Okay, I that's probably a creepy enough note to end on.
As creepy as anything else. What I'm trying to think of, trying to go back a little bit further.
To Rush,
Hemispheres,
Caress of Steel.
Caress of Steel. Fly by Night by Tora and the Snow Dog.
Oh God, that has
What?
like the best lyrics.
Snow Dog is victorious.
I think that was one of the first things. So we met on we met because I was pitching on Skyfire, and I was kind of just another PR person. But then you looked at my Twitter, and you noticed that I had my and this to this day it's still my Twitter image.
I'm looking
You
at it,
have
it's your
my head
Skype image too.
photoshopped into a picture of Rush. So you saw that and you were like, "Oh my God." And then I remember like one of the first things I tweeted at you, because you were with Phone Dog back then, and I said, "Prince Noah and the Phone Dog," or something like.
You've always been very good at your job. You know how to play it on different angles.
I do.
As opposed to one of your former colleagues who I didn't recognize when I first met her in person because, based on her Twitter photo, I got her gender wrong.
Ooh.
Yeah, because it was totally my fault. She's wearing a costume in the photo. Yeah, it was bad.
Well, that's why you never assume, Noah.
I know, ask you me. Is that the Grace Under Pressure photo?
I don't know. It's just where I just found that photo on the internet one day.
Because he's
I'm
got
not sure
the
where it's
Getty's
from.
got the mullet.
It's definitely Synth era.
Yeah, Getty's got the mullet, and Alex has the button-down shirt. buttoned all
but
the
I
way
just
up
saw
with
that
no
and,
tie.
And if anyone wants to see this, you can just look at my Twitter at Selvia. Excuse me, at Selviano. S-E-L-V-I-A-N-O.
Where does that come from?
So the place that it comes from is my boss at the time, when I was when we first met. Uh-huh. He met someone who knew me, but didn't know me well. So this person was like, "Oh yeah, I just met someone who works with you. His name was like Salvatore Salviano." And you know, so my boss knew right away who I was talking about. But he didn't correct him because he just wanted to hear like more variations of what he thought it could be. So my name became Selviano around the office, and then I just made that my Twitter handle as well.
Funny how those things start. My online identity for a long time was NK126 because when I went to grad school, the school server automatically issued me an email address and student ID, NK, my initials, 126, no idea what 126 stands for. And I just sort of adopted it. I then changed to Krabby Krav as a tribute to Flavor Flav, because we obviously have so much in common. And I was in a band for a while in New York, and the lead singer of the band, one night we're playing a gig on stage, he was introducing the band, and he introduced me as Noah Cravy Crave Kravitz, and that band broke up. So, yeah.
An ominous finish.
Speaking of breaking up, you actually have things you have to go do. I know.
Yeah,
you
unfortunately.
Told me when you do. And I don't even know. I don't even know if any of this is usable to broadcast out to the world. I'm gonna have
yeah,
to go
I understood.
I have to go through and edit things down. Either take out all references to Twilio or take out all the other stuff, because I don't want you to lose your job. Essentially,
you can just put my voice through. Feel free to like put it through an auto-tune filter to make
it
tolerable.
The Geddy Lee auto-tune. And it'll come out sounding exactly like it does now. All right, here, I'm going to act professional for the outro so I can splice it in later. All right, unfortunately, we have to wrap this up, but it's really, go play around with Twilio. If people just want to play around with it, can anybody sign up and make an account and pay $1 a month?
Yeah, anybody can. So if you're not a developer, you can actually Google around for TwiML and OpenVBX. There's kind of more of the tutorials for non-programmers to do kind of cool stuff where they can plug it in. And if you have ever coded anything, you'll be right at home. You'll know exactly what to do. Right. With the
so easy, even Noah can go in and screw it up.
Yeah, but it's not something, you know, for your mom or, you know, dad or, you know, anyone who is not of the computer age will probably be lost.
Right. Michael, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. But thanks, extra thanks for taking the time to come on the little show here. And best of luck with whatever the next wittily named Twilio project of yours is, let alone, you know, empowering the world to use the internet in this crazy new era where everything can be used by the internet. But appreciate the time, and I hope everything is good over on your side of the bay. I hope all the BART, not that it matters to you because you don't commute across the bay, but BART was all messed up this morning. So anybody listening who dealt with that, I'm glad you made it through alive. And come back. Maybe I'll get you and Damon to come on the show together, and you guys can talk.
That would be fun. And then bring Kirk Collins too, so we can gang up on Damon.
Perfect. I will do that if I can track him down. That guy just sort of disappears sometimes.
That's true. Yeah. But Noah, it was my pleasure. Had a blast.
And if people want to find you, obviously Twilio, and you're at Selviano on the Twitter. And once again, the number for Colin Oates, which is back up and at him for its 1 year anniversary,
is 1719 26 Oates. That's OATES.
Leave off the last S for savings. All right, man. Have a good one. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, dude.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of FutureCast. This has been FutureCast number 004 with your host, me, Noah Kravitz. You can follow me on the Twitters at Noah Kravitz. You can read the website at futuresmarter.com.
And like I said, I'm doing some stuff now over at readwrite.com, so check that out as well. Thanks to Michael Selvage again for donating like 9 hours of his time to the cause. And we'll be back next time with more interesting things from interesting people. See ya.